Bury my heart in wounded knee.
Bury my heart in wounded knee.
Deep in the earth.
Bury my heart in wounded knee.
Cover me with pretty lies.
Bury my heart in wounded knee.
Bury my heart in wounded knee.
Bury my heart in wounded knee.
We get the federal marshals. We get the covert spies.
Yes, we start here Fantastic Friday, CKUW 95.9 FM on your dial in Winnipeg. We're here on the University of Winnipeg campus at the 4.5 floor on 515 Portage Avenue. Look out, look out. We're coming hard, we're coming bad. This is Ras Pequoy with Prince Ogona, Princess Solem, Queen Victoria, Dr. T, and John, who's here but never here. But always by desire, whenever she's here, Princess Rachel doing the editorial hour. The editorial part, our part, our, and also Princess Catherine, who controls the sound and quality of sound coming out. Look out, here's Gaia Freedom Drummers. Zion.
It's the hard time of democracy. Who or what decides our destiny? It's the hands of men, it's misery. Men that say by lust, read no harmony. Ain't no room for love, no sympathy. Gentle weapons made to destroy I man. Like they're trying to disrupt this human plan.
Human plan.
What man really needs in life is faith.
One thing.
And that's a lion gate. Try to take away something from this world. Instead of living for senseless gain.
Shall be up in the day. this is Manuela, and you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, and the radio show name is called Fantastic Friday. Please come and join us every single Friday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. every Friday morning.
Little daughter, you are so small for a big woman, so soft for someone who must be so strong. Little daughter, I hold you in my arms, I laugh and am happy at your baby girl smile. To say I feel good is not enough. Little daughter, I walk with you through the dimension called time. For what are minutes, days, or years compared to father-daughter places in eternity? Little daughter, you, the delicate infant child, carry the innocent reality. I pray for your protection, prayers to help you through this life experience. Little daughter, the times I hold you next to me, I am flowing an infinity of love to fill the times I cannot hold you next to me. Little daughter, I am always with you, even when you cannot see me there. Sister, sister, I want to talk to the woman in you. We're under siege in a troubled time. Sister, sister, won't you hear my voice? I'm your brother, but I've made the mistakes of a man. Sometimes it's lonely being a man. The programming has its effect. Isolation is such a cruel thing. Sister, sister, won't you understand? They took your brothers, turned them into men. Like they took our sisters, turned them into women. Sister, sister, we are all the family of Earth. They have taken us away in their nuclear war, taught us to compete and abuse and blame each other while we're all being used. Sister, sister, hear my heart. It's time to bring the family back. Together we must remember Earth. We must remember what life is all about. Sister, sister, I am your brother. Every time I've ever hurt you, I've always hurt myself. Sister, sister, hear my voice. It's all up to us. We have a choice. Crystal clear tears of salt come when my heart talks with sadness. The tears flow my emotional rivers. It's no damn use to pretend. Pain will not rise again. Crystal clear tears of salt help my heart to feel for something when I do not want to. Clear my vision, see my peace. Men don't cry. Indians are stoic. I tell that to my heart, my eyes, they just laugh at me. And sometimes when my spirit hurts, they make me cry. Crystal clear, tears of salt. Purify my memory. Help me understand.
We have just concluded the first stage. The first stage was about getting the budgets, getting the approvals, getting the technical, all those kind of lead time considerations out of the way. The second stage is about us stepping up or standing up the facilities and conducting those trial search operations. And then stage three, hiring the workforce, standing up the entire search activity. Stage four, targeting that area where we believe the remains and the landfill material from May 16, 2022 are. And then stage five will be for us to search more broadly than that if the initial attempt is not successful. So we're through stage one of searching the Prairie Green Landfill. Four more stages to come. We are going to walk you through a technical briefing. We will offer a site visit in the near future, again, most likely next week. Today was about talking to the families. Today was about saying you've been through one heck of a terrible experience, but we are going to make good on the commitment that we said that we would search the landfill, and we're going to put the families first in the operation of the search, as well as Indigenous leadership, and of course honoring those commitments that I've made to the general public that we're going to do this in a fiscally responsible manner, but that most importantly shows our values as Manitobans that we don't leave anyone behind.
Coming up, but in the cash can. Turn around. Turn around. Back up. Right there, right there.
I love the way you activate your hips and push your ass out. Got a brother wanting it so bad I'm about to pass out. Wanna dig you, and I can't even lie about it, baby. Just alleviate your clothes, I'ma fly about it. Catch you at the club, your hips have got me fiending. Body talking quick to me, but I can't comprehend the meaning. Now if you wanna roll with me, then leave some chance. Do an 80 on the freeway, catch me if you can. Look at me, I'm a rider, still I'm just a simple man.
All I want is money, what's the fame? I'm a simple man.
Hey everyone, I'm Jess Turner. Make sure you listen to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9 FM every Friday morning, 6 a.m. till 8 a.m. That's way too early for me. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Come into
into my life. I got so much love to show you. Come into my life, girl. I adore you.
You're holding keys to my life. Good times will flow if you make our love strong and tight. Together as one, not two, we'll shine like diamond and ice. And I'll show you sweet melody that you want and need. Because I can brighten up your day.
Can brighten up your darkness.
Isn't that I put a smile on your face? Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Can you tell me what lies beside?
That you want and need, for you hold the key. Because I brighten up your days. When you're feeling better, put a smile on your face. Yeah.
My life,
can you
my
tell me what price must that be to make you see things?
You got one life.
Hi, I'm Julian Cooper. You're listening to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. This is my favorite morning wake-up show.
Muddy water. Trying to clear it up, you know. Hey, brethren. Forward. Muddy waters.
Well, now I get late over in the evening, I feel like blowing my horn. When I woke up this morning, all I have was gone again. Late over in the evening, man, now I feel like blowing my horn.
Listen to these
well, now,
I
woke up this morning.
You know what I mean?
All I have was gone. Went to the ocean running into the sea. But don't find my baby, somebody gone. Show bury me. Books went to the ocean, man, that ocean went to the sea. Well, now, I don't find my baby, pal. Somebody sure gonna bury me.
Been a long time, boy.
Yay! like days. Seemed like my baby would stop her. Whole evil
family
women.
From down south.
But it seemed like I was.
Whole family from down south.
And I was. Seemed like days. Well now, seemed like my baby child. Well, child, would stop a load our way.
Woke up in the morning, spinning round the machine. You know my dad, baby, I got these old walking blues. I woke up this morning, feeling round for my shoes. Ready, well, you know about that thing. Look at here, I got these old walking blues.
Leaving this morning, I had to go ride the plans. I've been mistreated and I don't mind dying. Leaving this morning, I had to go ride the plans.
Some folks tell me, oh, blues ain't bad. I got the worst dope feeling that I ever had. Some folks tell me, oh, blues ain't bad. You know, I got the worst dope feeling, Lord have mercy, I ever had.
Woke up this morning, feel around my shoe. You know about that baby and old walking blue. Woke up this morning, I feel around for my shoe. Oh, you know about that baby, I had them old walking blue.
Play the blues.
Last week, I on Fantastic Friday with Prince Ogona, Princess Chinsula, Queen Victoria, Dr. T and John, who is here but never here. But here this morning also, at some time, you have Princess Rachel, who gives you editorials and the person who controls the, let's call it, the economy of songs around Princess Catherine. Good morning, Princess Catherine.
Hello, good morning.
Oh, we sound a bit behind. I didn't hear the pep. The Fantastic Friday pep. Okay, how are you?
I still need my coffee, yes.
Well, you're supposed to bring in coffee. No, you're supposed to have coffee next week. Never mind. Whatever you have is good enough. Anything to report this morning?
Just reporting that the sun is shining and it's a beautiful day.
Yeah, man. And you must be in the clear that you could see the sun coming up, eh?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay, greet it for us. We inside of a building, so greet it for us. Say, son, Rico and Bona says hi. Ash, hi.
Yes, good morning, baby.
I don't even know.
We all say hi.
Did you hear the king? Did you hear Prince Bona talking to you?
My greetings to him as well.
Yeah, I wish you luck on your exam today.
Oh, thank you.
That's what you have to say? You don't look me. Sorry, go ahead. Bona.
I look forward to seeing you later on tonight.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what's going on here?
I'll be back in the city soon.
Alright.
But I appreciate all the luck that I get from you.
Oh yeah.
And the song that grew beautifully over the last.
Yes. Songs to make you move.
Andrew.
Exactly.
Andrew.
Carolina,
Georgia,
Mississippi, Alabama,
Texas, Louisiana, yes, so hardy, hardy, Tennessee and Oklahoma, Michigan and California, even country boys in Vegas, we're so hardy, 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 North Carolina and Virginia. That boy leaving, man. I never want to change. He's gonna eat up all the country boy. And I'm gonna be
me forever. I'm so high. Hi, I'm Jelsey Vanderhoeft from the Westman soccer team, and I listen to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM every Friday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m.
This is for my city dwellers, my storytellers, my soundscapers, music makers, and my dreamers of dreams. This is for the beat layers, the street sayers, the graph writers, and the painters. This is for the crate keepers, the image freezers, the lens seekers, and the photogs. This is for the spinners, the rewinders, drop the needle, pull it back, and come againers. This is for the movers, the body users, the kinetic acrobatic defying gravity provers. This is for the filmmakers, the actors, the activators, my sculptors, and my cans. Sprayers. This is for the da-da-dubbers, the dancers, the scribers, the scholars. This is for the freestylers, my improvisers, my poetical, lyrical, spiritual vocalizers. This is for my speechifiers, for the visionaries, for the bridge builders, the chain breakers, the power takers. This is for the door crashers, my drum beaters, the call to action taker to the streeters. For my behind the sceners, my planners, my finders, our on task and right on timers. For our organizers, our survivors, our motivators, and our strivers. This is for the uplifters and our uprisers. This is for you, our ancestors. This is for you, our people blessers, our children, for our vision, for our villages, our hoods, our nations, our truths. This is for our culture, for our generation. This is for our creator and our creation. This is for our inner being and our outer, for our say it louder, big and prouder. This is for the art, for the word. This is for the sound. This is for the power.
Look, I wanna get married like the Curry, Steph and Aisha shit, but we more like Belly, Tommy and Keisha shit. Gave you TLC, you wanna creep and shit. Pulled out my whole heart to a piece of shit. Man, I thought you would've learned a lesson about liking pictures, not returning texts. I guess it's fine, man, I get the message. You still stutter after certain questions. You keep in contact with certain exes. Do you though? Trust me, nigga, it's cool though. Said that you was working, but you out here chasing culo and boot thighs, chilling poolside, living two lives. I could've did what you did to me to you a few times, but if I did decide to slide, find a nigga, fuck him, suck his dick, you would've been pissed. But that's not my MO. I'm not that type of bitch, and karma for you is gonna be who you end up with. Don't make me sick, nigga.
I adore. I gave you everything, was mine is yours. I want you to live your life, of course, but I hope you get what you're dying for. Be careful with me. Do you know what you're doing? Whose feelings that you hurting and bruising? You gon' gain the whole world, but it's just for the girl that you losing. Be careful with me. It's not a threat, it's a warning. Be careful with me. Yeah, my heart is like a package with a fragile label on it. Be careful with me. Careful me, careful me.
In a blanket, smelling your scent on the pillow, looking outside of the window, waiting for you to come home. It's more fun cooking in the kitchen when I'm cooking with you, when we're cooking for two, then we warm up the food. Two glass full, but wine bottle empty, rub up the sheets, giving you love plenty. Then we finish our cups, make up the bed, and we do it again, again and again.
Moshe told you she was coming. Listen to her well.
Tell me when you're coming home. Where's my baby? He's out there trying to find his way home. And I'm drowning every time that he's gone. Every time I hear the telephone ring, I pray it's him to say, baby, my work here is done. I've been on my way.
Thank you, Beatrice. Wonderful songs from your daughter. Ooh, love and kindness to your great contribution to Canada. Michael, daughter of Beatrice Watts, now community representative.
Oh! Hi, I'm Colleen. Please listen to Fantastic Friday every Friday from 6 to 8 a.m. on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Come join us.
And this old world will keep on turning.
This goes out to my one love.
Let's just be glad we had some time to spend together. There's no need to watch the bridges that we're burning. Lay your head,
don't burn your bridges, keep them intact,
upon my pillow. Hold your warm and tender body close to mine. Hear the whisper of the raindrops blowing soft against the window, and make believe you love me one more time. for the good times.
Watch out, anything now shock out, get washed out. Watch out the kingdom out and the queen I come out, patch out there, spread the carpet. One thing we have to tell on us, watch out. Adam Mercy. Adam Mercy. Watch me now. It name murder me wrote and me no take back me chat. Shuffle the date me and the queen in a the park. Look how me cute and sexy like that. And me plant the can so no better watch that. Show me step up in a life them want to give me a fight. Show me look cute and them no look too right. They call and need to over me man a fight. And that now one no time in a them life. Me no cut up again model every time. Absolute niceness come with pair rhyme. First class dress code and your style a lick. The quality, my feet come back quick. Cause murder me wrote and me no take back me chat.
Hi everyone, my name is Belaine Osman. I'm a student here at the U of W. My students actually call me Madame Oz. Just letting you know, CKUW has an awesome show called Fantastic Friday, and you guys should listen to it. Stay tuned.
With some very, very important business.
Think you where you come from? As long as you're a black man,
a black
you're
woman or a black guy.
No mind your nationality. You have got the identity
and
of
an African.
Cause if you come from Clarendon,
it don't matter.
And if you come from Portland,
it don't matter.
And if you come from Westmoreland, you're
it really
in Africa.
Don't matter. Because coming to you from West Africa in a country called Nigeria, if you want to call
so don't you where you come from,
give you news and news
as long as
Africa,
you're a black man, you're an African.
Yes, good morning, Rasuka. Good morning to all of our listeners. Good morning, baby. Good morning to Steinbach. Today we have three different pieces, all from Democracy Now. The first one, we speak with U.S. Army Major Harrison Mann, the first military and intelligence officer to publicly resign over the Biden administration's support for Israel's war on Gaza. So stay tuned for that.
Even in the first weeks after October 7th, with the start of the Israeli air campaign on Gaza, it was really clear that they were prepared to inflict huge numbers of civilian casualties, which they did, and which your, you know, a trend your last guest described in really heartbreaking detail. So there was very high tolerance and willingness to inflict civilian casualties, which we already saw. We already saw the autoimmune response from U.S. and Israeli adversaries or Iranian proxies in the region, with I think the first Houthi attacks starting in mid-October. And really beyond those risks and the humanitarian cost, it was really clear both at the national level and from what I was hearing from the senior leadership in my community that our support for Israel was going to be really unshakable and unconditional, no matter how many people they killed and how they conducted the war. And my job at the time was assistant to the director of basically the Middle East and Africa office for the agency, who was also the official who oversaw the Israel crisis response. So I was very well placed to understand some of the higher level discussions happening about the war and about U.S. support to the war. And that really left me feeling hopeless that we were going to condition or moderate our aid or our support in any way. There's certainly been other conflicts, including in our region, where other forces did some level of siege or cut off access to the population they were attacking. And I think the Saudi-led coalition's war in Yemen against the Houthis, which until recently had wound down, was probably the next closest example of a man-made humanitarian crisis, cutting off the entry of food and medication while bombing a population. I mean, fundamentally, I understood that every day that I was going to go into the office, I was going to be contributing to the Israeli campaign. That was something that DOD was supporting. It's something that DIA was supporting. And I think it's open that we have a very close intelligence relationship with Israel. And so I was tangentially involved in that. And I kind of got more and more discouraged and hopeless that we were going to stop. The U.S. was going to stop its support. And I understood early on and was unfortunately validated in this that nobody was going to come tell me to stop. Nobody at any level in my chain of command, even people who I think were sympathetic to what was happening to the Palestinians, was going to ask me or anybody I worked with to reconsider the support that we were facilitating.
The United States has been providing support to Israel for several months in its efforts to help identify the locations of hostages in Gaza and to support efforts to try to secure their rescue or recovery. I'm not going to get into the specific operational or intelligence-related matters associated with that because we need to protect those. I can only just say that we have generally provided support to the IDF so that we can try to get all of the hostages home, including the American hostages who are still being held.
Yeah, I think the operation this weekend is a kind of unusually public example of the value of intelligence support that the U.S. provides to Israel, which is, you know, we've had a longstanding and very strong relationship, and usually it's not discussed. But I think this weekend we saw how intel support, even if it's for a goal that I think is nominally, quite something that's difficult to dispute, which is rescuing hostages, can nonetheless contribute to operations that kill what looks like a very large number of civilians. And I think it's also indicative of the value of the intel support that we give Israel. And I just highlight that because that's the area that I worked in or adjacent to, and it's another form of valuable support that we give Israel that helps them prosecute this war. And it's another less discussed form of leverage that we also have over the Israeli government. So for the first months after I initiated my resignation process, which did not actually conclude until last week, I was really kind of afraid. I didn't feel comfortable talking about this with anybody because nobody else was discussing it. And it felt like it was way outside of our norms and outside of what would be culturally acceptable where I worked. But in April, when I finally shared my resignation letter with my office, I got really overwhelmingly positive and supportive feedback from the people that I worked with. And I discovered that there were a lot of people who felt pretty much the same way that I did and also felt like they could not openly discuss their concerns. And since I've publicized my letter, more people from both my office and elsewhere in the Department of Defense and the military have also reached out. And, you know, my number one piece of advice or kind of tough love here is understanding, again, that nobody is going to tell you to stop. I do not think we are near an end to this conflict. And so you are nowhere near the end of being finally told that you can stop participating in it. And so understanding that, you then have to realize that moderating your level of support or participation is a choice, the same way that going to work tomorrow and continuing to support the Israeli campaign is a choice. And I know that what I did is not feasible for a lot of people. I understand that. I know other folks in our line of work who have asked for a transfer or who have asked their supervisor, hey, I'm going to keep doing all of the portfolios you give me, but find somebody else for Israel. I think another possibly effective option is asking for an assurance in writing that what you're doing is both legal and consistent with your organization's ethical standards and value statements. That's something I wish I had done, which I think would have given some people pause, because we're asking each other, we're asking our subordinates to do a lot of these things and contribute to this conflict without really pausing to think about the ethical dimension. And that's something I'm guilty of.
Yes, and this second piece is also from Democracy Now, where we talk to Dr. James Smith, an emergency medical doctor who just got back from Gaza, where he treated patients for nearly 2 months. He states Gaza's health ministry warns that the few remaining hospitals still partially functioning could completely shut down due to Israel's near total blockade of the territory. Stay tuned.
The situation in Gaza and certainly in the middle area of Gaza where I was working up until the 5th of June remains catastrophic. The intensity of violence that Israel has meted out against the Palestinian people, the barbarity of it all, continues to, you know, you feel that you've seen the absolute worst, and the very next day it gets worse again. The massacre in Nuseirat on Saturday was certainly the worst of the violence that those neighborhoods have seen since the start of the genocide back in the beginning of October. 274 dead, killed, as you've mentioned, approximately 700 injured. I would expect that in the coming days we will hear of more people who have died, who have succumbed to injuries that were sustained as a result of Israeli airstrikes and the Israeli ground incursion in that area, as a result of the collapsed healthcare system. As you mentioned, there are no fully functional hospitals any longer in Gaza, and no health facilities that are able to absorb the sheer scale of need now. There is no improvement in any conditions in Gaza. This overfixation on the number of trucks that are entering into Gaza, or rather the number of trucks that the Israeli state has permitted to enter into Gaza, is a distraction from the violence and its many manifestations. We have almost the entire population of the Gaza Strip now forcibly displaced. The majority of those people no longer have homes to return to. Entire cities, and I have seen them myself, Khan Yunis, Gaza City, other neighborhoods, parts of Rafah now, that have been completely destroyed. Homes, schools, clinics that have been vaporized to dust, concrete and sand. There has been absolutely no improvement in any of the basic conditions that are required to sustain human life in Gaza at the present time. So hunger is rife across the Gaza Strip. There is a fixation of sorts among epidemiologists and distant public health experts in the terms of malnutrition, but hunger is rife. As I've mentioned already, Israel maintains complete control over what and who enters into and out of Gaza. They are able to manufacture the conditions of life, or rather of death, in Gaza. And they have complete control over how much food aid or how much food enters into Gaza. In my final weeks in Gaza, I was struck that commercial trucks from Israel were given precedence of access over the humanitarian aid trucks. So in the south of Gaza, we saw several markets in which there were several fresh fruit and fresh vegetable commodities bearing the slogans of Israeli companies, but very limited food aid that was able to enter into Gaza. On several occasions, the big UN agencies said that they would have to stop food aid distributions. It was incredible to me that the very state that was starving people and inflicting such violence upon them was then bringing in food that, of course, people can't afford to buy anymore. And that people, those who could, were having to pay for food from, as I say, the very state, the very economy that is trying to strangle the Palestinian people. To your other point about access to clean water, sanitary conditions, the smell of sewage was rife throughout every camp that I passed through in Gaza, from Rafah to Khan Yunis and into Gaza City. Several instances of sewage overflowing onto the street. In all of the locations I worked across Gaza, and all of the hospitals I visited, including in the north of Gaza and Gaza City, we saw patients who were suffering from very severe bouts of acute watery diarrhea, a major outbreak of hepatitis A, which is spread as a result of poor sanitary conditions. And of course, all of those things together, hunger, lack of access to nutritious food, the impact of a lack of clean drinkable water on physical health is catastrophic. It will certainly have a major impact on all those people who are suffering as a result of other health or trauma-related problems as well.
And we have one last piece also from Democracy Now! Here we speak to Sarah Leah Whitson, the executive director of Dawn, where she says, and quote, "It will come to haunt and hurt America for decades to come." She also says Israel has no interest in international law, and the United States has no interest in demanding that Israel actually comply with international law besides rhetorical flourishes. Stay tuned.
It's a welcome proposal, if only 8 months and 40,000 dead Palestinians too late. Absolutely nothing of value has been achieved in this 8 months of carnage in Gaza. The Biden administration is basically trying to pressure Israel into accepting a ceasefire proposal by pretending it's an Israeli ceasefire proposal. While Hamas has accepted this, Israel has not yet accepted this ceasefire proposal, and in fact has communicated its unwillingness to abide by a ceasefire by continuing its heinous military incursions into Gaza. I think that the United States has been trying to push Israel to halt its operations, begged Israel for several months not to make an incursion into Rafah, all of which Israel has repeatedly ignored. I don't know whether the attack on the Nuseirat refugee camp that was part of a so-called rescue operation is something that the United States offered up its acquiescence and participation in exchange for Israel agreeing to a ceasefire. I imagine that the timing of this raid, certainly after the ceasefire proposal had been made, raises questions about that. But what we repeatedly hear from Israeli officials, not American officials purporting to speak on their behalf, is that they will not accept a ceasefire proposal until they achieve their mission of destroying all of Hamas. It has been widely reported and confirmed by a number of U.S. government sources that the United States has been involved in the planning of this raid for several months and specifically provided intelligence as well as logistical support for this operation, which, of course, resulted in the murder of over 270 Palestinians. Entirely predictable when you randomly drop bombs all over a refugee camp. That many, many people will die. Not only is it a grotesque, indiscriminate attack on civilians, Israelis deployed perfidy to carry it out. They dressed themselves up as civilians in a broad daylight attack. They used an aid truck that was videotaped approaching the area, as well as a civilian vehicle pretending to be refugees fleeing with a mattress on their car in order to trick Hamas forces and to allow the operation to go forward. There's also been a report by Hamas, which has not been verified, that the operation also resulted in Israel killing three other hostages, including a U.S. citizen, but we've not yet been able to confirm that. With respect to the UN reports that have just been issued, they conclude what everybody else who is an expert in law and has observed, which is that the number one, the attack on Nuseirat refugee camp was itself a war crime and it involved deliberate targeting of civilians as well as indiscriminate targeting of civilians. Sadly, this is just piling up on top of ceaseless, relentless war crimes and crimes against humanity that have been underway in Gaza Gaza for the past 8 months. And that is the conclusion that the Commission of Inquiry's report released today reveals. We now have mountains of UN reports, UN experts, the International Court of Justice, the International Criminal Court, shouting from the rafters that Israel is carrying out war crimes and crimes against humanity in Gaza. And yet, all of this is showing us, sadly, that Israel has no interest in international law, and the United States has no interest in demanding that Israel actually comply with international law, besides rhetorical flourishes added in statements to the press in the United States. The continued military support to Israel is really not just a savage attack on the Palestinian people, it is a savage attack on international law itself, and it will come to haunt and hurt America for decades to come. The Israeli group, I don't want to mangle the pronunciation, Sapi 9, is a organized group of settlers in the West Bank that have deliberately and repeatedly attacked humanitarian aid convoys headed to Gaza. This has been an organized effort coordinated on WhatsApp and other social media to announce exactly when and where the attacks would take place. We are urging the Biden administration to sanction this group, but not only to sanction this group, but to sanction the Israeli companies and NGOs, nonprofit organizations that have been actively fundraising to pay for these attacks on humanitarian aid convoys. I mean, it just boggles the mind that we have vigilante groups who are deliberately attacking food and medicine trucks meant for civilians. I think it raises a tremendous concern and question about the psychology of Israelis who would do such a thing. But more significantly, we want the Biden administration to exercise its sanctions that it has announced for violence in the West Bank, not only against these individuals, not only against this group. They are not just rogue lone wolf operators. They are supported by an infrastructure and network of companies and businesses and nonprofit organizations that are funding their efforts. It's particularly appalling that an American NGO has been involved as well in a fundraising for these really disgusting attacks on humanitarian aid convoys. And we think that the IRS should closely examine whether these contributions violate their rules under the IRS as charitable donations.
Hello, Rico. What's this program all about? Come on, come on, play some music.
Don't worry yourself too much. This program is all about telling you about news and views and giving you information and defending, what do you call it, love and peace.
Business can happen virtually.
That was on that.
Mm-hmm. Look out, here we come.
Hey, you're still listening to CKW95.9 FM right here in Winnipeg, Manitoba. This is Rita Mali Harambe.